This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, now let's talk with our good friends, our good friend Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com. Kyle, how's it going today, man?
It's good. We can talk Rangers if you guys want to. I mean, that's always a great conversation. It gets Mike involved, too, which I like.
Actually, I had a football question for you first. How much of a good decision do you think it is for the Seahawks to invite Randy Gregory in for a visit? And if you had to guess how that ends poorly, which path would you go down?
I'm going to go back to whenever we were doing the joint practice and we were broadcasting and live streaming back in Denver, where he was by himself on the Dallas sideline trying to pick a fight. And he wasn't even in pads. Like, he wasn't even participating because he was injured in the middle of the practice. That's what I think would, if there was something to go wrong, it would be the competitive nature of Randy Gregory to just work into the wrong team drill and find his way into trouble that way. But I don't think he gets in trouble because he has an established relationship with Adam Dirty, too, who's now the defensive coordinator there. So I think you know what? I don't think it's a terrible idea.
Okay.
I just only think it's a terrible idea.
Okay, because two things. Yeah. Sometimes he doesn't get in trouble because he doesn't even show up.
Right.
And
exactly.
Also, yeah. I understood what you were saying when you said joint practice.
Yeah, those are his favorite practices.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys.
As in Broncos and Cowboys. And I mean, I know it was in Denver, but like, let's. You know,
I'm not familiar with all the strains. I'm sorry. I'll just take your word for it.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, Kyle, you have triplets. Like Kevin's been trying to get you to do the triplet book and everything. I know you're working hard on it. How does one do a Halloween costuming for triplets?
Oh,
it's just all themed the same way. So we're doing Toy Story. So we've got Woody, Buzz, and Jesse, and we're dressing up because I've got two boys and a girl. So our heavier boy is Buzz Lightyear. The skinnier, lankier boy is Woody. And then, of course, my baby girl is Jessie. And then me and my wife are putting on the alien costumes. Nice. So we've got, like, the three eyes and the claw, you know, like the different Toy Story references. That's what we did this year. I know in the past I've seen some really creative ideas. We didn't get creative. We have too much of a lack of sleep to have any creativity in terms of the Halloween garb this year.
I did see a dad, he built he had a wagon, and then he built a little cardboard whack-a-mole. And so all the kids, he had three triplets, you know, that's triplets. And he had all of them kind of just popping their little heads out in the whack-a-mole. So, but
oh, three triplets, nine kids.
Yeah, that would be three triplets. That would be nine kids, Mike. That's right.
See, it's funny because you mentioned that. I even know the guy that you're talking about. It's Jordan Flom, I think is his name on Instagram or whatever. But I get thrown his or DM'd his videos every time he comes out with like a new triplet content piece. I get it maybe 40 times in my inbox.
Okay.
It's just over and over and over again because people are like, oh, Kyle's got triplets. I'm sure this will be fun for him to see. But little do they know, I've already seen it 39 times previous to that. And so that one popped up as soon as he posted it, I think like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's just over and over and over again. I'm sure I'll get it for another week or so. And then it'll move on to his next one. One of his other ones, he was playing shuffleboard with them in strollers. Like, he's got them
I've
on
seen
like
that,
his
yes.
driveway. Yeah, he's got like a shuffleboard cutout in his driveway, and he's playing shuffleboard with a buddy of his with the triplets as the pieces on the board.
So you want people to know there's more to you than just being a triplet dad.
Mm-hmm.
I love being a triplet dad more than anything in this world. But if you've seen his content, just assume I've already seen it
All
as
right.
well. That's
okay.
what I'll say.
Stop sending me that stuff.
Oh.
Is what he said.
Okay, look, and this is probably going to be a question along those lines, but with 5 takeaways total and 13 giveaways. Clearly, that's not a good combination, and the Cowboys have the 3rd worst turnover ratio in all of the NFL. Can you help us solve either side of that, whether it's getting more takeaways or having fewer giveaways?
Yeah, I think it's easier to solve the problem of getting the takeaways, of your defense forcing turnovers. And I really just think that's predicated by lack of a pass rush right now. The fact that you don't have your 4 defensive ends, you don't have Micah Parsons, who's really been a disruptive force enough to where offenses have to change their game plan or they have to force things from time to time. And it puts a lot of pressure on your secondary when you aren't getting that pass rush, when you aren't in the backfield significantly. And the Cowboys haven't been. And I think Atlanta's a pretty good indication of that as well. Atlanta is a team that has a great secondary. They've got some really good pieces on the back end, like A.J. Terrell, like I'm already blanking on the safety.
Jesse Bates.
Yes. Those guys are good at what they do, but they don't have an electrifying pass rush. And because of that, they probably don't get the turnovers that you would see from those guys out in the secondary. It's the same thing for the Cowboys because without Micah Parsons or DeMarcus Lawrence or Marshawn Neeland or Sam Williams or whatever they're going to employ up front, teams are able to just kind of pick apart this defense. And even though the secondary is not giving up the big plays, more often than not, they're playing off the line of scrimmage, giving themselves a bit of a cushion because they know that these quarterbacks are going to have more time to sift through their wide receiver core, go through their progression, and find them open. That's where the takeaways come from on the defensive side. On the offensive side, I think it's just you got to have a balanced attack. And right now, you're one of the oddly enough, you're one of the best passing teams in terms of yardage per game, but that's because you're not running the ball at all, and you're dead last in terms of rushing yards per game and rushing yards per attempt. So if you can find some balance offensively, I think that helps Dak Prescott not force things and not have to continue to throw the football over and over and over again, because anytime you put the ball in the air, there's a chance for that to go wrong.
I'm glad you brought up the running game. We were talking earlier about the running game specifically, and I said, maybe with some hyperbole, no, but I don't think anybody in the NFL could run behind this offensive line right now. Mm. And we kind of discussed it for a second.
And disagree.
Do you have a list of running backs that you think would be productive, more productive behind this line at the moment?
I think you've already seen 2 of them, maybe 3 of them. And you're going to face one this week in Bijan Robinson. So I think Bijan Robinson's the most complete back, in my opinion, as a young star in this league. So you're going to see an element of that this week. But the other guys that I would think about are Alvin Kamara, just because he is he's such a creator, whether he's a ball carrier or a receiver. I think he would have success behind this offensive line, because a lot of times in New Orleans throughout his career, he hasn't had a good offensive line to run behind, and he still had a phenomenal career up to this point. Derrick Henry is the other one, just because he's a freak of nature, and the size and speed combination is as lethal as anything. I still think he would have success behind this offensive line. And then the other one I would kind of throw into the mix is what Detroit does with Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't think David Montgomery would have success because he's more of a bowling ball, physical back. Is he a great NFL running back? Absolutely. But I need a creator. And nobody on this roster right now in the Dallas Cowboys running back room can create, except for maybe, and the jury is still out, on Deuce Vaughn. And I mean, Deuce Vaughn is a creator, but does he have the athleticism? And by athleticism, I mainly mean, does he have the size to be a bell cow running back? And does he have the explosion to be a bell cow running back behind a bad offensive line? We haven't seen it yet. He hasn't necessarily gotten the touches yet. So up to this point, I don't think you have it on your roster. I think there's a couple guys out there, but to your point, Corey, I don't think it's no one, but it's a very, very small list.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of the guys that could run behind this offensive line the way that they've been playing and run blocking to this point.
Now, we're talking with Kyle Yeomans right here on 105 Through the Fan. I read your big facts piece yesterday on DallasCowboys.com. I have a couple if you want to make any changes to the piece today and update them on the website.
Okay.
Tell me if either one of these do anything for you. The Cowboys have 10 plays of 10 yards or more rushing this season. Their opponents have 31. Now, if you're like, oh, well, that's pretty good, but I think you can do better. Fair enough. There have been 315 rushing plays this year in the NFL of 15-plus yards. The Cowboys have zero of those.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Maybe I will add that to the back half of that stat. It continues to drive it into the ground, right?
Yes, that one felt particularly astonishing to me.
They have some work to do, definitely. Then, huh?
Yeah, that run game isn't necessarily working in your favor right now.
They're saving Dalvin Cook, so why don't you guys just relax?
No, they're not. That's what
I was told. We were saving Dalvin Cook, so now we deployed him to practice. Couple carries. Now we're really going to deploy him this week.
He's going to be active this week.
We're ramping up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I like that.
Yeah. I'm going to go on a limb. 10 carries for 25 yards. We're going to bump that average up from 2 yards per carry to 2.5 yards per carry.
I like that idea. I like that.
It's improvement.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's all we're asking for at this point.
Exactly.
It's a running back by committee approach, right? So if he has 25 yards and then Zeke has 15 yards, that means they've got 40 yards of rushing. And then, I mean, that doesn't even count what Rico Dowdle's doing, right?
Okay. See, you get it. Now, Dak said something about 2018 and we've been here before. And you just used the phrase by committee. That was the year the Cowboys decided wide receiver by committee. That didn't work. They were 3-4, realized that was a dumb plan and made a trade. This year, they're 3-4, also have a by committee system, but they're pretty dug in about not making a trade. You don't anticipate the Cowboys doing anything before Tuesday, right?
I don't, and that's not necessarily off of like any breaking news or reporting or insider information. I mean, I really just from a gut feeling standpoint, I don't know if they do make a move. I was asked on one of our shows earlier this week what move I would make, and I'll ask you guys that question.
Yeah,
if you had one spot to upgrade, what would it be on this Cowboys roster? Because there's multiple spots you could upgrade. Which one would you go for?
I mean, I obviously feel offensive line is very important, but the two players that I'm trying to replace, I want to grow. You know, that's it there. So I guess I would go running back.
Probably, and I don't have a name in mind, but just that feels like the biggest spot for an upgrade. But to your point, you could argue a lot of different spots on the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would degrade the team.
What was that, Mike?
I would degrade the team. I would try to trade, like, yeah, you would hurt yourself. You'd get worse. I would try to trade Diggs. I would see if anybody wants Eric Kendricks. I would see, like, if anybody wants Osa Odigazua. Now, I'm only getting fourth and fifths and whatever, but they're telling me, at least if I'm trusting the Cowboys' words, we're out of money for the next few years. We don't have any. We have all these stud players that are making so much money. We're out of money. So if I can only improve the team through draft picks, then I want a lot of draft picks over the next 2 years to try to help out these high-priced players.
Sure. And I think that would be a willing, full approach if you feel like this team isn't close enough. If they aren't close enough. Now, I know my opinion on that is they aren't. I don't think they are close enough to making a run at the playoffs and turning things around. In 2018, obviously, they were close enough. They were one move away. They go get Amari Cooper. They make that trade, and they go from 3-4. I think they lost the next game. I think it was like a Tennessee game
they
on
did.
Like a Thursday
Correct.
Night. It was like a weird game. So they went to 3-5, and then they rattled off 7 of their next 8 wins. I don't see that. When I'm looking at the film here, And it goes back to what I just, the question I just asked. There are so many different problems on both sides of the football that I don't think a change in coaching or a change in scheme or a change in personnel is going to help you to a significant portion to say, hey, now instead of getting beat badly by the best teams in the NFL, like Detroit, like Baltimore, like the San Francisco team, when they get healthy, still one of the better teams in the NFL, I don't feel like you're close enough there to make one or two moves in a positive manner to take away from like what Mike is saying here. Maybe you look to the future. Maybe you look and say, hey, we're not that far off because we have cornerstone pieces of this franchise, like Dak, like CD, like Micah. You could have these guys and move into a different direction. You just may have to chalk it up to a loss in 2024 if you're doing so. I don't think they're close enough to make a move in a positive direction. It just depends on what they feel like in a front office sense.
Any chance we can win this game on Sunday?
Absolutely. I think there is a chance. And hell the yeah. reason being is the defense from Atlanta does not scare me the same way that some of these other defenses have played throughout the year. I'm looking at
their pressure is terrible.
A lot of too high shell. And if they were getting pressure, that too high shell could be dangerous for Dak and for an offense. That's not the case because they don't get pressure. They're bottom in the league in terms of pressure rate. So against an offensive line that needs a confidence boost, against a running game that needs a confidence boost, and really a quarterback who's turned it over twice and two interceptions in his last three games, it's another confidence boost. That's what this could be moving forward. Do I see an easy win? No. I think it would turn into close to what you saw in Pittsburgh, but I still think there's a chance and there's an avenue to win on Sunday and to get back to 4-4.
Sorry, I have one more question. Let's say, and you make a lot of logical points, and I'm with you on all of those. Let's say for some reason you gave up a lot of pressure and you still turn the ball over, even with all of that, and you lose by 17, 20 points. Do you think that makes the next 2 days more complicated in terms of, is there anybody we can send away and pick up some more draft capital?
I think by that point you would have the sample size to where it would make a difference. I think losing in that way would make a bigger difference than winning in that way would be. If you win by 17 and you take care of the football and you show out in a way in Atlanta, I think it's more impactful to lose like that than it would be to win like that this weekend. So I still think there could be some moving and shaking. But just based off of what the Jones family has said, this front office has said, and really the mindset within the building, I don't know if there's really going to be a whole lot of needle moving in terms of the trade deadline so far.
Appreciate you very much. As always, good sir. We'll catch up with you next week.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Talk to you soon.
There you go. Kyle Yeomans, DallasCowboys.com.
Go get candy.
Yeah. I bet. When do you start taking kids out?
Don't you think that his wife should trick him tonight and say, I'm pregnant and I think I have three kids in my belly?
No,
again?
I don't think that. No, I don't know. Maybe he wants more. Maybe he wants to have six kids.
Probably not all at the same time, though, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, get it out of the way, you know? You don't have to go through six different pregnancies. That might be an easier approach to it sometimes. But I have no clue. I just asked Adrian, I said, hey, what time does everything start tonight? Because I have no clue when we're
Mavericks
supposed to expect.
Mavericks are at 7:30.
I got you. Thank you, Mike. I don't know when to expect kids to come by our house. I don't know when to take Lucy around the neighborhood. Carter, I got to go drop off. Avery's driving. So I have no clue, man.
We're getting all my Zach Wilsons out. If you accidentally knock on my door, I literally don't have any candy. You are getting Zach Wilson rookie cards.
All right, fantastic.
Fingers crossed, Bo Nix.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.